You're listening to the number one rated new and noteworthy podcast on the iTunes Australia ladder. We think it's Australia. We don't really know how far it stretches, but we'll say the world if we want to.
Oh, I'm cool to go with the world.
Yeah. So we're gonna kick off the show by thanking everybody who's listened to the show and subscribed to the show. Not just in Australia, as we know, we have a lot of listeners around the world too. We have cracked the number one spot on the new and noteworthy sporting podcasts. Which is very exciting.
It is very exciting.
And I think I was on there last night. We've actually been kicked off that because we're not new anymore.
Okay.
So now we have no choice but to conquer iTunes as a whole.
Okay, cool.
We're going to have to knock off Hamish and Andy as the number one podcast on iTunes.
You're saying that like it's going to be hard to do.
I'm saying that like it's going to take us a good few weeks.
Okay, yeah. All right, cool.
But, you know, I'm sure we can do it. Again, a warm thank you to everybody who listens to the show and subscribes to the show.
Yeah, thanks everyone.
Tell your friends. If everybody who listens tells two mates, then my maths tells me we'll have three times as many listeners.
Oh, wow.
Well, if they listen, not just tell their mates.
Yeah, just tell their mates that they listen. Yeah,
that's right.
Unless, of course, you just want to listen three times, I'll set up two bogus accounts and sign up for them.
Yeah, because you already have 47 accounts to try and boost us up. Yeah, sorry. Yeah, that's right. No, we're not supposed to say that. We'll get into today's show. Today's our Monday show.
It is,
and it's Tuesday.
And it's Tuesday. It's awesome.
I couldn't get in here yesterday to do the show. I was flat chat. We will be going through a few things on today's show. It will include A-League results wrap, A-League news wrap. We'll cover everything like that. We've got a great comic that Charlie Anderson's written for the site, which I'm actually going to read out on the show. It's that good.
Wow, everyone gets to read a comic via the podcast.
Yeah, yeah. Well, yeah, the best way to read a comic. And we've got some interesting news. Interesting A-League facts will be something that we'll be talking about later in the show. So if you're one of those anoraks who loves their facts, no matter how pointless they are, stay tuned for that segment.
I can't wait.
We also uncovered some major, major news about Brad Jones that we'll talk about in the show. Australia and now Liverpool goalkeeper Brad Jones. We will also go through our correspondence. We'll talk some Premier League, etc. To kick us off, we've just received a press conference from the FFA saying that Holger Osiak will be naming his first Socceroos squad at 5 p.m. today. So unfortunately, we'll be done and dusted in here in the studio by the time that comes out. So it'll be something we'll talk about on Thursday. Are you predicting any surprises?
No, apart from Robbie Slater, of course, being
reinstated. Yeah, he'll play up front. Mm-hmm. Slater will. Yeah. But I'm not expecting too many major changes for a first squad. I would expect it to look a bit different from the one that played in Slovenia just recently, though.
Yeah,
because they played crap in Slovenia just recently.
Yeah, I wouldn't go past him by bringing in a few new faces that we haven't seen in for a while. Not necessarily new faces, just some. Old youngsters, if that makes sense.
Oh, so like I thought you were just talking about faces. Like, he might bring some masks.
New
faces.
Same
old players, but they'll be wearing, like, those Richard Nixon masks.
Yeah. I don't think that's against FIFA regulations.
The Socceroos all look like they're about to pull a bank job. There's a bunch of clowns running around. They played like a bunch of clowns let's talk the A-League. Kicked off on Friday night in Adelaide, and an entertaining match. I predicted a draw. You didn't make a prediction and asked that you make your prediction after the round. So what do you reckon this one will finish up?
I'm actually predicting a 3-2 win to Adelaide.
Yeah?
With Rut Gavone to actually score the Hearts. That'd be the first Hart player to ever score a goal.
Oh, okay. That's, so we're not counting Ben Kantarovsky as a goal scorer for the Hart?
Of course, no.
There was a really good one. Liam Ridgewell used to play for Aston Villa and now plays for Birmingham City. They're crosstown rivals, and he scored an own goal for Birmingham City whilst playing for Birmingham City against Aston Villa. Mm-hmm. And very cheekily, in the Aston Villa match report on their website, they put, Villa went ahead in the 18th minute through a Liam Ridgewell own goal, his like fifth strike for the club, which I thought was very good.
Yeah,
anyway, so what are you saying? 3-2 to Adelaide United and Rut Gavone to be the first Hart player to score.
That's right.
That is so weird because now I'm looking at the results page. It's finished Adelaide United 3, Melbourne Hart 2, and Rut Gavone is on the score sheet here as the first Hart goal scorer.
Well, there you go. Right? Yeah. Oh, you should have listened.
That's amazing. Yeah. Well, I did listen.
Oh, you did too, of course.
Nice. I just repeated what you said.
Yeah, no, true.
Dead giveaway.
Well done.
Yeah. We've got...
It's uncanny.
It was a very, very entertaining game, wasn't it?
It was.
Yeah.
5 goals. It's hard to find a 5-goal match which isn't very entertaining.
That's a good point as well. Yeah. It wasn't as good as the one in Wellington the week before. Because the pitch wasn't as wet.
The pitch wasn't one leg.
Yeah, there wasn't enough slipping over for my liking. We need more slipping in the A-League.
We do. Definitely more slipping.
A lot more slipping. Goal scorers, Matthew Leckie, called into the squad at very short notice. Sergio Van Dijk hurt his... Was it ankle or calf? Leg. Hurt his leg in the warm-up.
Hurt his body.
Yes. I think he got an owie toe. That was,
an owie toe. Yeah. Oh, okay. So,
oh, very painful.
I think they're more commonly known as a Michael Owen.
An owie toe, Matthew Leckie was called into the squad and got off to a pretty good start.
Yeah, you know, he might just stay there.
Yeah, he got the Man of the Match award, so well done to him. Very weak back pass from Michael Moroney. Left Beecham in sort of no man's land, but he was very easily rounded by Leckie. Michael Beecham is, and I've said this, I'm not just saying this after the weekend, I've said this with my friends for a long time, I have never seen a footballer slip over more than Michael Beecham.
Yeah, that's a good
shout.
You
guarantee
actually.
Every match he plays, he will slip a few times at crucial times. And if the strike is good enough, it usually leads to a goal. He just... I don't know if he plays in, like socks, if he's actually not wearing boots. But I've never seen a player slip so much as Michael Beecham. If you know a player who slips over more than Michael Beecham, write us in at the show and we might remember him. Because I can't think of any off the top of my head.
Well, apparently his boot sponsors make him remove the logos before he puts his boots on.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised, yeah. David Di Michele at West Ham a couple of seasons ago used to slip over all the time. People would just say, wear longer studs and you might stop slipping over all the time. Yeah. I can't think of any other great slips.
No, not slippers.
Yeah, slippers, yeah.
Because, of course, we had a great slip at Wellington the other week.
Dino Djulbic. Yes. That was a great slip. Yeah, but he's not a great slipper.
That's right.
Shane Warne was a great slipper. Yeah, great pair of hands.
Oh, great. Yeah.
Didn't drop much. Yeah, fantastic slipper.
I was going to try to get the golden slipper in there. But
I was thinking racing jokes as well. Yeah, I couldn't think of one. I'm thinking quick. Couldn't get it. Because that was a race rather than a horse.
Yes.
Yeah. Actually, the award should be the Michael Beecham Award. Should be called the Golden Slipper.
The Golden Slipper.
Yeah.
Okay. Right. Cool. We'll start. We'll get it going.
Yeah. The A League's Golden Slipper.
I like it.
And Michael Beecham can present it.
Yeah. Okay.
To himself.
Cool. To himself.
Because he'll be the.
We won't rock up to heart training one day and just actually get.
Yeah, give him a Golden Slipper.
Give him a Golden Slipper.
Are you buying that? Are you paying for it?
Oh, we'll see what happens.
I'm not.
You don't have it. Yeah.
Anyway, back to the football, because apparently that's what they kind of want us to talk about on this show. Maybe not. Let's ask you, as the listeners who have made us the number one new and noteworthy podcast, do you listen to this show because we talk about football or because of our rubbish comedy?
or if you're Luke de Lawrence, because of our Formula One raps.
Yeah, that's right. totally distracted then. We're in this new and noteworthy sporting podcast and reached number one. We could now make the jump to comedy. And go into the new and noteworthy section and then rise to number one.
Well, there you go. We'll see what happens.
Yeah.
Cool. Anyway.
All right.
Just by the way, that's Adelaide's first win, and Hart are still looking for one, obviously.
Yeah, we're still talking about that game.
Yeah, okay.
Cool. We haven't got to the second goal score yet. this is a disastrous start to the show. Rutger Worm, as we talked about, became the Hearts' first goal scorer.
Yeah,
after
a rubbish first two games, he actually scores the first goal.
Yeah,
so.
And nice header too.
It was actually
nice little heart celebration with his hands too.
No one saw that coming. He took it off my lanyard.
Oh yeah, that's right. Yeah, yeah. For those of you who don't know what he's talking about. I don't blame you. it was like a 2-minute thing we talked about in one of our early episodes.
7 or 10 episodes in.
Ian Ramsey was great for Adelaide United. Two goals. Twice managed to slip it through underneath. No. It was Leckie slipped it under Bolton the first time. Ramsey's first goal was sort of the tap-in after Bolton made a very good save, actually, from Pantelis. And then his third goal was the nice little nutmeg to finish off from a very tight angle. Elie Babaj scored at the other end for the Heart as well.
Indeed.
Nice goal too, Matt Thompson. Yeah. Great run down
the left. Wasn't it? Yeah. It was a great run by Matty Thompson.
Teed him up. He finished with a cool head. So congrats to Adelaide. You've got your first win on the board.
And going better than most people, including myself, predicted.
Yes. So. Were they your spooners?
Yes.
Yeah, because both of our two spooners have started pretty well.
Pretty well.
Yeah, that's right. Had the Jets and you had Adelaide United, yeah. Speaking of the Jets, they went down. Speaking of how well they're going. Yeah, nice, great segue there, Quinks. You're doing fantastic. To Perth Glory over in the West. Branko Jelic goal just on halftime.
Yeah, okay. So
disappointing crowd, I have to say. 12,000?
12,000, yeah. Yeah. It's a little bit...
Apparently the weather was a bit patchy the day of the game.
Okay.
You know, to get a sellout and a really thrilling game and then go away to Melbourne and win and come home and get less fans is a little interesting.
It is a wee bit weird. What time was the game?
It's an afternoon kickoff. Okay. That's 3 o'clock Perth time.
Mm-hmm.
So Perth fans, what's doing?
Oh, they must have listened to our advice and didn't bring their friends along.
That's exactly what's happened, yeah. Half of them didn't, you know, yeah. If you're a Perth fan and you listen to this show and you were at the game and you heard whispers of why people weren't there, or maybe you're at the game and it was blatantly obvious as to why people didn't come. Maybe the weather was...
Or if you didn't go, why didn't you go?
Or if you didn't go, why not? Explain yourselves in writing to info@thefootballsack.com. Let's move on. It wasn't a really great game, that one, so we won't dwell on it for too long.
It's funny because Glory, they have some talented players, but they play pretty rubbish football.
Sometimes. They can play well, but it's usually just like one really good Robbie Fowler through ball or something like that. Let's turn
out. Though they might actually start scoring now because Tojoski's injured.
Well, he scored last week. Quite a nice little goal, too. Let's talk Saturday night. You were at the game in Brisbane. Brisbane were all winning against Sydney FC. Five-figure crowd, which is what we pretty much said they'd be happy to get. I think, are they still in the situation where they need 15s to break even up there?
It went down. I think it's about 10 now because they renegotiated the contract with Suncorp. Yeah. Because Suncorp wanted to keep them and Brisbane wanted to stay at Suncorp, so they kind of came to a bit of a...
Yeah. Agreement. It was a lovely little finish from Matt McKay.
Oh, it was. Yeah. It was on his weaker left foot.
Yeah, right foot.
Oh, weaker right foot, my bad. And, great setup play by Henrique and Voish.
Bubba Roos has had a very good chance. Should have wrapped it up at the end too.
Yes. He had a one-on-one with Reddy. Reddy was just planted. He had both posts to choose from and just straight to him. You could just see he had too much time. He thought about too much and then just put it straight down the middle.
If you're going to hit it straight, you've got to keep it low and try and squeeze it under the keeper.
Yeah, not straight his bread basket. You know, all he had to do was just pass it to one of the posts and it's a goal.
Yeah.
And but see, apart from that, he played all right. Like he did that, and then a few minutes later, he took a shot when he shouldn't have, just to try to make up for it. Yeah, trying to look worse. Those two moments are going to make it look like he had a pretty bad game, when really he didn't play too bad.
Good game overall. Did you think? I didn't see it. I've only seen the highlights.
Okay, no, it was great.
Yeah,
Raw. I can't remember a single long ball from them. It was just all pass on the ground, on the deck, building from the backs. It was really surprising. It was incredible, and Sydney had
very un-Postecoglou like.
Yes. But like we said at the start of the season,
he must have forgotten to give his team talk.
Yeah, no. But like we said at the start of the season, we'll give him a clean slate and we'll see what happens. But Sydney had no answer for it. They were without their two forwards, but they probably would have played the same formation. Again, that's hearsay, but they've been playing that formation for a while now.
Yeah,
and it was just Raw, just dominated from start to finish, and we're unlucky not to win by a few more.
Cool. What was the atmosphere like?
Pretty good. Yeah. 2,000, you could have three people in Suncorp, and it's going to be a good atmosphere.
Yeah, because it holds the noise really well, doesn't it?
That's it.
And you're so close to the pitch. It's a great stadium. Best stadium in Australia to watch rectangular football.
Definitely.
Be it rugby or football.
So, just a quick mention to Brisbane fans, just get your friends along, because the more successful, this team's going to have a good year.
Yeah. They are, yeah. So, what's their next home match?
Is it this Friday? Weekend?
Yeah,
Friday on against Phoenix. So it should be a cracker.
Oh, that will be a really good game.
8 PM Friday. Everyone get down there. Yeah. I'll be out there again. So.
Yeah, that will be a really, really good game. I might actually go after that.
You're going to come?
Yeah. Sweet. I'll have to check my schedule. I won't promise anything. Mm-hmm. Time is money, as you know. That does sound cool. I might come up. Across the ditch, we predicted a 3-1 result to this one. So we got the result right. Well, we got the margin right and the result right, but not quite right in how many goals were scored, because we went 3-1 and it was 2-0. That's basically what I was trying to say there in that 28-minute spiel I just gave. a lovely, actually two lovely goals, both for different reasons. Leo Bertos's was a lovely passing move.
Just a great build-up play. Yeah,
Greenacre was great, and they just sliced open the Mariners. And then Paul Ifield's goal on his 400th senior appearance in professional football was class. He just the goalkeeper just did not expect him. I've gone blank. Was his name Van Straten? Did not expect him to go across the goal with his left foot, and he's just hit it sweet as fantastic half volley. So, congratulations to Wellington. Again, they'd be a little bit disappointed, but with that crowd, just under 10,000. But it's great that we've got to a stage where the New Zealand team in the A-League is disappointed not to crack five figures for a crowd.
Yeah, isn't that great? It's brilliant. Yeah. So
they're becoming one of the big teams in this league, aren't they?
Oh, they are. Yeah. No doubt about that at all. Because they got a great backroom staff, great committee, and a great on-field players now too.
Yeah, they also got their first sign of their first look at their Argentine signing, Oscar Roberto Conejo, who came on in the second half. So I didn't really get to see much of the game, but I hope you're impressed, and I hope they get some good weather over there for their next couple of home games to try and build those crowds up. Those fans deserve it, because no matter what the weather is, they'll turn up and stand there with no shirts on. So I'd love to give them a nice sunny day. Summer's coming.
That's all good.
Which means that Wellington will be pushing the 20s.
Sweet.
Yeah, in terms of degrees. Yeah,
and hopefully in terms of crowds.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, there'd be a nice little symmetry, actually.
It would be nice, yes.
And our last game of the weekend was Melbourne Victory and North Queensland Fury down at AAMI State. Is it AAMI or AAMI? It is. Yeah.
It is AAMI. AAMI Park.
AAMI Park, yeah. I was more worried about the pronunciation of AAMI than... and it's finished 2-2, and lots of controversy, lots of talking points. No penalties in the A-League coming into this match for this season. Three by the end of the match.
Yes. The referee, name escapes me.
Yeah, first it was Chris Boyle.
Chris Boyle, his first ever A-League match.
Yeah.
He has reffed in the Scottish Premier League previously.
Has he?
He has.
He's
in Australia doing a university degree.
Is that right? There you go. How did you know that?
Oh, I'm just magic.
You did your research. Yeah. Well done.
Yeah. I did all this research, I couldn't remember his name.
Good point. Yeah. I take back what I said. three penalties. One red card or two red cards?
Two.
Yes. Chris Grossman and Eric Okoto, whose appeal was rejected, and...
They appealed to the match review panel. That got rejected. And so now they've appealed, as of this morning, to the FIFA Executive Committee.
Yeah.
So they have to go through the whole process again.
If you haven't seen it, basically he's face-to-face with Kevin Muscat, puts his hands up in Muskie's chest and gives him a light shove to sort of get out of my face, and Muskie falls over.
Yeah.
It's a soft... just spoke way too close to the mic. It's a soft red card, but... it won't get overturned, because by overturning it, you're then going to say, okay, yes, you can put your hands up in somebody's chest, and then you get into that grey area of how high up a chest can you go, and next thing you know, it'll be a neck, and then you'll be on the face, and it's just better, just say to footballers, no matter how pissed off you get, keep your hands by your sides, you won't get sent off.
That's it.
It's stupidity on Okoto's part, and he's got to cop it.
Yeah, and unfortunately for Fury fans, the team's going to cop it. Because
that's right.
He's probably at the moment their best defender.
Yeah.
And one of the top ones in the A-League at the moment.
Yeah,
so,
he's looked good. For those penalties, Kevin Muscat put away his grand final blues and tucked them both away, sending the keeper the wrong way both times. He has a fantastic knack of doing that.
He does.
Very rarely do you see Muscat score a penalty where he puts it and beats the keeper on that side. He almost 9 times out of 10 will just send the keeper the wrong way and place it in the other corner. He's terrific at it. Or straight down the middle like he did.
Yeah. It's kind of funny, actually. I've got a bit of a funny story about a penalty. Last night, obviously, Carlos Tevez just scored a penalty for Manchester City. Andy Gray, the match review after the match, he got his slow motion camera out to prove that if Reina had a dive the correct way, he would have saved the penalty. And everyone's just going, well, why? Really, Andy? Really?
What's the point of that?
I have no idea. It was the biggest, I've got no material, so I'm just going to do this. Kind of like our podcast.
Yeah. It's funny you mentioned that. Nice little segue. I've actually got some footage up here of Pepe Reina. If he would have dived... Oh, no. It's been done.
Oh, no. Yeah. What are we going to do?
There was a great penalty that one this morning because right up until the last... Carl Stamos always goes to his right. That's just his spot where he puts penalties.
Or in the middle.
Yeah. And or, yeah, just smacks it down the middle. And he just ran up, looked as though he was going to place it in the far corner and just kept his body shape angled the far side but whipped it. Yeah, terrific penalty.
I love Tevis's penalties because, yeah, he just has the insurance of hitting it 200% more than he has to. So even if it goes the right way...
He'll probably end up in the net with it.
Well, was it the Carling Cup semi-final where he had a penalty and the keeper, I think... It was Ben Foster. Got a full hand on it, but just drove his arm back and just went in anyway.
That's on top of good penalties. On top of bad penalties, did you see Carlton Coles for West Ham?
Oh, I missed it.
We got two penalties against Bolton.
Mm-hmm.
The first one, the Hammers were brilliant the first half. Hit the post. You know, Barrera, our new Mexican signer, looks terrific. Got a penalty just before halftime. Carlton Cole stepped up to take it, who is not a penalty taker. You know, I'm screaming at the penalties at the TV saying, you know, Noble takes the penalties, Noble takes the penalties. Carlton Cole steps up, stutters his way in, totally looks like he's never going to score and just rolls it, you know, at the keeper, Jeskalainen, who just lays down and makes the save.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, you know, a minute after halftime, Bolton score, and that's, you know, that compounds, it's a 2-goal turnaround by that stage. And we ended up getting beaten 3-1. Did get a second penalty, which Noble stepped up and hammered into the bottom corner.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That annoys you. You've got a captain out there and you've got a manager on the sideline, and none of those two spoke up and said, we have a penalty taker and a bloke who probably won't score. So how did the bloke who probably won't score end up taking the penalty? Annoys me. Frustrating. Yes.
Anyway, what did you think of the first red card?
In the Fury match.
Fury match.
Are we still talking about that?
Yes.
It's another one of those talking point ones, isn't it? Grossman.
Pretty soft, in my opinion. Penalty, yes. Red card, don't think so.
He went through on goal. You knew it was going to be given. But I don't know if you can say with certainty from that position that he was going to... It was a goal-scoring opportunity or whatever the word is.
Because they had the right back coming across.
Exactly. He wasn't last man on the penalty spot or wherever it was. Mm-hmm. Speaking of penalties, I'll just also say, Damien Duff, did you see the one he gave away against Manchester United? A cross came in. He's tried to control it on his thigh. It's pretty much his knee, and rocketed into his arm, which is by his side, and a penalty was given. And if that's deliberate handball, they've got to sort that out.
Okay, one question for you, Jack.
Yes.
How many good results has it taken till you're going to say that Fury could be top six material?
Oh, Jesus. A few more.
A few more.
Yeah.
So the two last year's grand finalists and the current top of the table team isn't good enough for you.
Wow, that's a good point. I don't know. One swallow doesn't make a summer, though. We're three matches into the league.
Yeah, no, that's good. That's
when we're 33 matches into the league, we'll see where they are.
Well, of course, that 33 matches is three matches into the finals, so...
Oh, really? Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm talking about.
Oh, you're doing a Christian.
If they're in the grand final, I'll tell you they've had a good year. I don't know. I think they're punching above their weight still, and I think they've got a thin squad. And with football campaigns, you know, when your first 11's good, that's great. But it's when you get injuries and suspensions that you find out how good your squad is. And I think that's what we're going to find out about the Fury.
Yeah, okay.
And you'll have players drop out of form, etc. So I still don't expect them to be top six.
Yeah. Talking about squads, I think it's still strange how the A-League only allowed to have three outfield players as substitutes.
Yeah. Why?
Originally, it was because the squads were quite thin.
Yeah.
Or so that, you know, you didn't have to have that many players in your squad. But now, because gunner squads are expanding and we have the under-21s now.
Yeah.
Why
wouldn't you just make it five subs
and
put two youth kids up there for a bit of experience?
Right,
even if they don't get on the park, you know, just let them sit there and be a part of it.
It doesn't really make too much sense, in my opinion.
But right. That's our A-League results wrap.
Mm-hmm.
Done and dusted for another week. Quick look at the table. Perth Glory's on top with North Queensland Fury coming second. Melbourne Heart are propping up the table. Let's talk a bit of news. We covered the Eric Okoto red card. Danny Vukovic has returned home. His transfer to Turkey has fallen through, and he's ended up... he's gone from the Central Coast to Turkey, and he's ended up in New Zealand.
Oh, wow. So the long way around.
Yeah, he's got an extremely long way of getting there. didn't really see this one coming, and we were saying it's a strange move. Ricky Herbert's come out and said, no, he'll be challenging for the number one jersey. But I can't see him displacing Mark Paston, who's been great for the Phoenix and for New Zealand.
It's a strange one because even if he does replace Mark Paston, the Kiwi fan's going to be on his back, and if he makes a single mistake, they're just going to be screaming blood.
Exactly. I just think it's a strange move for Vukovic personally. I think that, you know, I mentioned the Jets as a place I think he could have got the first goalkeeping spot, and you said that it might have something to do with not wanting to sort of upset the Mariners fans by ending up down the road. I'm not sure if that rivalry is fierce enough yet to make that the reason. It's not quite sort of switching between Celtic and Rangers.
Yeah, no. He had a little incident in the grand final that time.
That's a good point. Yeah, it's a very good point as well. And although that was more fury at the referee than the Jets.
Again, you know, we don't really know. You know, this may have been his only offer because, you know, salary cap restrictions, the A-League and stuff. Some other clubs might just can't afford him.
Yeah.
Like Fury, he probably could have challenged for the number one spot there. I think you mentioned that to me. But again, you know, they just may not have been able to pay him. They have no financial clout at all.
Touche. Suncorp Stadium. Again, we're going to have football and a football stadium being disrupted because of a music concert. And, you know, this time it's U2 playing in Brisbane. I love music. Mm-hmm. U2 are a great band. But, you know, it's a football stadium. And your main tenant should not be getting shafted for one night where a band's in town. And we see that, you know, Melbourne Victory rightly used to kick up a stink because their playing surface was awful and they were paying for the Etihad Stadium. And now it's going to happen up there in Brisbane, just when the playing surface will be getting perfect up there.
They're completely relaying the pitch the straight day after.
Oh, there we go. How long until they play again?
Okay. So the concert is on Wednesday. They... I think they might go on a bit of a road trip, but don't quote me on that.
Yeah. Even then, you get those issues with new pitches being laid. They tend to chop up a lot. You've only got to look at Wembley for that. I just don't like it. I think that, you know, the owners of these stadiums, I know they're out there to make money, but if you're going to, you know, set yourself up and hire yourself out to sporting teams who rely on a good quality surface... then you've got to say, okay, we've decided to do that. We can't then go and get the easy money from hosting concerts. Frustrates me. I'm probably in the minority.
I can see where you're coming from, but you know the stadiums. Yeah, they're obviously a business, and that's going to bring a huge amount of revenue and stuff. So you got to looking at both sides. But it does raise a bit of an opportunity to have a match somewhere else.
Do you think they'll move a home game?
Oh, well, okay.
Ballymore?
Probably Ballymore. Yeah. Transport logistics are a bit...
Yeah, they're not as good. Old-fashioned drive out to the ground stuff.
That's it. It's not too bad, actually. Ballymore, you just park across the river and just walk across the pipe. It's good.
Yeah. Well, they still train at Ballymore, don't they?
Yeah, Ballymore's the base. So the surface itself is going to be a decent surface.
it used to be the best surface in Super Rugby when the Reds used to play there. It's terrific. Yeah. Terrific ground.
Matt had a great idea. Oh, well, it was great until we realised it had a flaw. Was that they move the match down to Skilled Park and have a double header when Gold Coast play the Heart. But unfortunately, it was a midweek match, so they couldn't actually do that because that would have meant that they were all played two matches in 3 days.
Of course, yeah.
Otherwise, it probably would have been all right.
Yeah, that would have been. That's a shame. That would have been quite a good event. But having said that, Clive Palmer would only let 5,000 people come watch it. Let's have a bit of fun with this this comic that I referred to. Charlie Anderson has put up. It's on the site. He's written a few comics for us now. We recommended you went and saw one on the show a couple of shows ago.
Yeah, a couple of shows.
With the terrific map of Europe and etc. This comic that he's made here. It's basically a 6-panel comic talking about how football happens in Australia too, and it's not on the Australia 2 ship that won the America's Cup. Like in Australia,
This is a viewpoint of an English fan.
An English football viewpoint. Basically, it shows someone sitting there watching TV. Someone walks in the room and says, what are you doing? The person in the chair says, I'm watching the A-League. And the person says, the A-League? What's that? A group of superheroes? Yeah, that's a really funny joke. And the person in the chair says, no, it's the Australian Football League. And the person standing up says, I've heard of the Australian Football League. It's like weird rugby, isn't it? And the person in the chair says, what? No, it's just football, like everyone else plays it. And the person on standing up says, oh, well, anyway, change the channel. I want to watch a proper, exciting, competitive league. And then you hear the TV say, half time here at Stamford Bridge, and it's Chelsea 12, Blackpool 0. That's a terrific, terrific joke. Great comic. So, Charlie, well done again. As I said, that's on the website.
Yeah, he's turning out some really good things.
He's
ones.
Very, very funny.
He's third one.
That's I like it a lot. And I'll be a regular subscriber to his work.
Yeah, so check us out on the site, and if you like him, see his non-football work too on his own website.
Yes, of course. Do we have that at hand, or is it on the site?
It's on the site.
It's on the site. So go to our site, check out the comic, and you can get a link to his site.
I think
so,
it's Things Fall Apart Comics or something like that.
Oh, okay, so, cool. It probably makes sense, yeah. Nice. Terrific comics, very funny. Let's talk A-League facts. We got A-League fun facts.
Fun facts. Oh, I love fun, and I love facts. So, wow.
Do you love facts?
I don't know. Yeah. I just had to say.
I love fun. I'll go with that.
I'll go with fun. Nice.
We got sent this email by Football Federation Australia, and we were looking
giving
at
our sources away.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah. Sorry. Very un-Robbie Slater-like to name my source.
I don't mind the ranch sauce, actually. I had my chips the other
That's
night.
A good sauce. Yeah, ranch sauce. Yeah. That's a good one. Yeah. Robbie, what sauce would you like? Not telling. Robbie.
He gets his own.
Yeah.
He just makes his own up. He's in the kitchen just making his own place of sauce.
Unlabeled bottle. They sent us this email, and we started reading it, and some of the facts in here, we were just thinking, why on earth would you make that an interesting fact? And who writes these facts down? Who does the research? It was quite interesting to note here that the average age on debut in the A-League is 25.2 years.
Okay.
If you didn't already know
that. There you go. Write that one down in your history books.
The venues that have hosted the most debutants in the A-League is Suncorp Stadium. It has had 76 players make their debut there. Followed by Energy Australia Stadium with 70, and NIB Stadium, which is 68. What's NIB Stadium?
Perth.
Grand. Yeah, that's what. Yeah, that's interesting.
Really interesting.
Yeah, not really. Oh, interesting was the wrong word to use there. Craig Moore is the only player to be sent off on debut. Mm-hmm. That's slightly interesting. You can maybe work that into a commentary. The interesting one for me was the biggest crowd on debut. Now, we're not talking about the biggest crowd for a game. We're not talking about a team and the biggest crowd they got their first game. Mm. This is Joe Gibbs for Sydney FC holds the record for being
the
player.
Most people watch him on
debut. Yeah, that's right. He had 44,560 people watch him in Melbourne make his debut for Sydney FC.
Not a bad effort, is it?
Who does those stats?
Who does the stats?
And who sends them out thinking that they will get used? Unbelievable.
Well, they obviously have been used because they're on the number one podcast in the world.
Very nicely done there. Very nicely done. That's very interesting. We'll talk. We should also mention our Sydney FC ticket comp because they've got a home game coming up.
Yes, of course. Every Sydney FC home game, we have two tickets to give away to.
Yep.
Two quite very good seats. So what you have to do is go to our website, click on the win tab and fill out the form, which is simply telling us what you think this weekend's result will be in the Sydney FC match. And if you get it right, if you're the only one who gets it right, straight to the tickets. If you get it right and someone else gets it right, you're into a draw and the winner gets the cookies. So it can't be easy.
Tickets.
It takes 5 seconds and you never know your luck. Adam McKnight won it last week and we had Pete... who actually sent us his pronunciation of the name, but I didn't memorise it. So Pete Nowalski.
Yeah.
Won at Louisville.
How close were we?
When you read it, did
you say, yeah? Did you say, not even close?
Not even close.
Yeah, I was afraid of that. Yeah, sorry, Pete.
Sorry, Pete.
So get amongst that. Get yourself some freebies and good seats, too.
Mm, of course, even if you're a season ticket holder or regular attender, go for it anyway, because if you win...
Give them away to your mates.
Give them to your two friends. Get
them
new addicts.
Yeah, that's right. And then they'll come watch the matches with you.
Because seriously, every friend I've taken to a match, even if they they're not a football fan, they come again for another go, because they love it.
Yeah.
It's just...
And for your witty observations during the match,
of course. Of course. Like, you, bloody...
Yeah, they come for the football, they stay for the comedy. So that's great. We'll also take this opportunity to thank our sponsors here at the show, Betfair.
Of course.
Because we've thanked Sydney FC there who give us those tickets. Betfair football's always much more fun when you're betting. Betting as it should be with Betfair. So go to our website, click on the Betfair logo, open up an account, put $30 in, and Betfair will give you $50 to bet with for free.
Awesome.
How good's that? So go capitalise on that on our site. A quick note here to mention the Fantasy Football League. Mm-hmm. Ben Martian
he's doing very well.
Marvin is topping it. Who's propping up the ladder?
Oh, I don't know. Probably not really important.
It's not important. It's Christian. Oh. Christian is coming last in the Fantasy Football stakes.
So says the man who didn't actually enter a team.
Yeah, never got around to entering a team.
Stayed on the starting blocks.
I quote myself from about episode 5 or whatever it was.
Yeah, I'll
join
next week.
I always forget to do fantasy.
This time we just forgot to sign up.
Well, I tried once and my computer wasn't working. That was it. Okay. Never trying again.
In my defense, what I'm doing is just giving everyone a bit of false hope, And then when they think they got it, bam, I'll be second last.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, you make a late charge. Let's try and get out of the drop zone.
Relegation. I'll have to go into the 4-4-2 podcast league next year.
Yeah, that's right. You'll drop down. Yeah. Ouch. You bitch. Take that 4-4-2. I quite like 4-4-2.
Yeah, no, they're pretty good.
Yeah.
Just listen to us.
Yeah, yeah, just listen to us first and then them and rate us higher.
Of course.
Yeah. In international sort of news, we mentioned there was some big news about Brad Jones that we discovered.
Huge news.
Yeah.
Because obviously he's just signed for the second biggest club of his career.
He's just joined Liverpool. Mm-hmm. As you say, probably the second biggest club he'll ever play for. And if you're saying why is it the second, because he actually did in 2001 make a loan spell from Middlesbrough to Shelbourne United.
Shelbourne FC.
And played 2 games for the Shells, our adopted club.
Our adopted club, whose jersey is actually hanging on our wall right now.
It is. The jersey is on the wall here at the show. And so to our Shells fan, Neil and... We've got another one, don't we?
Neil and Niall.
Niall, that's it, yeah. Just in ran out of names.
Yeah, I might have to change my name to Neil.
In Ireland, they only got like when they gave all the names, it was like a box from IKEA, and there was just like lots of N's and L's and I's. So they just did the best they could.
It's funny you kind of mention that because when I got interviewed by the Irish podcast Beyond the Back Page Football, the coast was also called Neil.
Oh, was he really? Yeah. There you go. just yell out Neil in a street in Dublin, 45 blokes turn around. So isn't that just crazy that Brad Jones, Socceroos keeper, did have a quick spell at Shells?
That's nuts. That's awesome.
Right, yeah, cool. We just thought that was worth your mention. Let's talk Premier League. We haven't got a lot of time. We're already over time, actually, so we'll make it quick. Big results from the weekend. This morning we had... big match between Man City and Liverpool, and it was just a landslide.
Yeah, 3-0. Just Liverpool were, they had a couple of chances. Torres probably should have scored. Joe Hart just pulled a save out of his ass.
He made some great saves. There was that time there where he made two fantastic...
The double save, yes. Well, it was actually a triple save.
Well, first one at the post, then him.
Fair enough. Yeah.
But God, he's just brilliant. Mm. He's so awesome. Mm. My story about that game was I was going to get up and watch it live, and I thought, no, I've got this MyStar thing, I'll record it and use it. Mm-hmm. Recorded it, got up, sort of went and did my morning chores and that sort of stuff, got home about 9 a.m. and thought, right, here we go. I've stayed away from Twitter and Facebook and everything so as not to give away the score. I went and made myself a cup of tea, sat down with my biscuits, hit play, and the sound wasn't working. And I was thinking, I can't believe this. I've recorded the game. Yeah. The sound's not working. I looked, and one of my dogs was asleep next to the speaker. And I thought, I'll bet you he's kicked the cord out. So I went over and had a look, and sure enough, he'd kicked one of the cord out of the back of one of the speakers. So I fixed that, and the sound was working. So it was great. I rewinded it back to the start and then hit play. And I went through and I sat down and sipping on my tea. I got about 3 minutes into the match, and a little thing popped up on the screen. You've reached the end of the recording. And somehow it had... buggered itself up.
Yep.
So I only saw 3 minutes of the game, and then just had to go watch the highlights on Fox Sports News. I was
devastated.
I was really angry. I was kicking stuff around the house for about 20 minutes afterwards.
This has got kind of ironic. Went from their first goal. It was Adam Johns put a brilliant ball into Milner, then dragged it back for Gareth Barry, who scored. So it was a goal made in Villa Park.
It was, Villa Park goal. Right, let's also touch on the other big results. Man United dropped points at Fulham. crazy finish to that game. Yeah. Hangerland at 1-1 giving away. He scored an own goal.
6 minutes to go, was it?
6 minutes to go, scored an own goal. Then they conceded a penalty, which Nanny missed or had saved by Stockdale. Yes. And then Hangerland went up the other end and scored the equaliser.
So he was the hero and the villain.
Yeah, he was. He's quoted after the match as saying when he scored the own goal, he looked at the clock and thought, right, I've got 5 minutes to do something about this, and went up the other end and scored.
Yeah, well, good on him.
Manager should probably tell him at the start of every game, go out there and do something. There was a story about that last season. The Hammers had a terrible game against Bolton Wanderers. We were beaten 2-1, but we only scored right at the end. Mm-hmm. So like we were out of it, we were never in the game. And they at West Ham, they do one of those things where they announce the sponsors man of the match, mm-hmm. and it's always like a Hammers player.
Yeah.
And we were 2-0 down. People were starting to get up and leave. There was only a couple of minutes to go, and the stadium announcer Jeremy Nicholas said, "Ladies and gentlemen, the SBO bet man of the match is number 32, Alessandro Diamanti," and it was met with sort of reaction from the crowd, at which point the ball dropped to Diamanti, who shifted it onto his left foot and curled a beautiful strike in the top corner. And almost ironically, and then we were sort of joking afterwards with my mate, saying they should announce the man of the match before the game and let them live up to it. Just make the whole squad man of the match. The other fixtures there, we've had some 6-0 thumpings, mm-hmm. three of them, in fact. Yeah, Arsenal, Wigan are copping it big time. They copped it from Chelsea. And the big one, Newcastle United.
Who saw this coming?
Thumping Aston Villa, does not bode well for the Hammers, because they've already been beaten 3-0 by Aston Villa. So I've perished the thought of what's going to happen later on. Nobody would have predicted that.
No.
Not even the most wild, optimistic Geordie fan.
Definitely not Stevie Ireland either.
Yeah, that's right. So that was his debut. So I think you're going to get better for him.
That's it.
Fantastic result for the Toon. They'll be ecstatic with that.
I love it. And suddenly, according to their fans, they'll be title contenders now. So
yes, they will. And the biggest news, of course, was that Joey Barton could shave off that horrible moustache.
Oh, thank God.
I think, as I mentioned, we're already over time. We should probably wrap up the program. Is there anything else that you'd like to add?
Oh, not particularly.
Not particularly?
Listen on Thursday. It'll be a massive show.
Apologies, just turned off my microphone. It will be a massive show on Thursday. We might grab some more people to come in the studio with us.
Yeah, Tom worked out well last week.
Tom was great last week.
The more people in here, the less research we have to do.
Exactly, as we saw last week. And whatever happened with the Mark Bosnich tweeting thing? Did we get on that?
Apparently it was a fake account.
So it's not really him.
No.
Okay, so we'll have to come up with another way to contact him.
Indeed.
Stupidly. I've been Jack, that's been Christian.
Goodbye, everybody.
See you later, guys.